decided to go Saturday. He said, it's Saturday, we don't want to go fight on Saturday. He left all his tribe and went and fought with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and died with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he died, the Sahaba were in his last moment said, is he with us or against us? We never heard this man say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whomever wants to see a man from heaven rule, never bowed down to Allah once, look at this man. He said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah. And he joined that battle, and he died in that battle. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rewarded him a place in heaven. And we also said the story about Abu Dujana. The Prophet said, I got a sword here. Who wants a sword? All the Sahaba said, I will. Abu Bakr, I. Umar, I. Ali, I. Everyone. Then Abu Dujana stood up. He didn't want none of them. He said, the Prophet said, who wants the sword with the rights that come with it? Everyone said, I will. But when Abu Dujana got up, he said, what are the rights that belong with that sword? So he said, the rights that belong with that sword, if you want it, to fight with it until it bends and breaks. Don't let it down. You can't let it down. He said, I take it. Abu Dujana said, I take it. The Prophet said, the biggest of the Sahaba, he let them down. Why? Because they didn't ask, what are the rights of it? They just wanted that sword. The holy sword from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Dujana takes it and wraps his hand with a bandit and sticks his chest out and walks in the battlefield. That chest wasn't stuck out of, you know, pride in his wealth or his degree or any. That chest was stuck out because he wanted arrows coming in that chest for the sake of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that's a walk that this man is walking that Allah and his messenger hate it, except in a stand like this. When you stick out your chest, what are you sticking it out in the battlefield? A bullet or arrow. When you're sticking it out in the streets, you're sticking it out of pride. But in the battlefield, you're ducking down. You're not sticking your chest. Abu Dujana wanted it all in his chest. He took that sword and he fought vigorously with it. He fought with it so bad that, you know, one of the leaders of Quraysh was killing Muslims left and right. He killed 9 in front of Ka'b ibn Malik. Ka'b ibn Malik said, we couldn't go after him. He killed 9 people. Then a man with his face covered went up to him and hit him on his head and cracked the skull. From his one hit on his head, he cracked him in half. He fell off his horse in 2 pieces. From one hit on his head. And then Abu Dujana took the covering off his face and he looked back at Ka'b. Said, you like that? Did I do a good job on him? And they started laughing. In the midst of the battlefield, this was Ka'b ibn Malik and Abu Dujana radiallahu anhum. And other Sahaba, Ayman, is in the battlefield, nursing the people. You know what they did, the women? They nursed the ones who were wounded. They give them water, food, carry them back. And more so than that, if there's a kafir who's wounded, they finish him off. That was the job of our women back then. And the battle went on to the stunning victory of the Muslim. In fact, in the first moments of the battlefield, we had 9 of their flags down. 9 to 10. You know what that means? Back then, when the flag goes down, that's the defeat of the battle. We had 9 in a matter of moments. They were being slaughtered left and right. They were running away from us. Then the victory came. They all ran away. They all vanished. Khalid ibn al-Walid didn't even get involved in the battle. Yes. He seen the Rumah, the 50 that the Prophet said, stay up there, get down. He said, this is my opportunity. He went behind that mountain when only 2 or 3 were up there. He took from behind it, 2 or 3, they shot at him with arrows. The duty of those who stood on that little mountain, that's the mountain of the Rumah called today, the duty of them was to be snipers. If anyone tried to get up, be snipers, and also shoot at the kuffar, and also make sure no one comes from behind them. When there was 3 left, they could do nothing to a fraction of an army. Khalid ibn al-Walid got up, he killed them, he finished them off, and went down to the battlefield. This is when it was complete, it went upside down. Now, not only for the Muslims, the Kafir themselves. You know, back then, they didn't have, the U.S. Army wears green, and the Russian Army wear red, or whatever. They didn't have those suits. They fought, you're on this side, and I'm on this side. I'm on the side, you're facing me, that means you're my enemy, and I'm your enemy. In fact, some of them, I don't know if you see the steels that they have until today in some museum, some of them were covered from head to toe with steels. And some on this side were covered head to toe with steels, and some on this side were covered head to toe with steels. So you don't know which side is which. When Khalid ibn al-Walid came from behind, it was commotion. to the point that Hudayf ibn al-Yaman seen his father being killed by the Muslim. They didn't know who's Muslim or who's not. They didn't know you're on my side or you're on their side. Hudayf ibn al-Yaman said, my father, leave my father alone. If they had two factions of Muslims had went against the father of Hudayf ibn al-Yaman and killed the father of Hudayf ibn al-Yaman mistakenly, thinking he's one of the opponent's side. So the Muslims killed each other, the Kuffar killed each other, and they also, both factions killed each other. The only side that stayed firm and together was the side of Khalid ibn al-Walid, because he had his tactics and he began finishing off the Muslims, and the Muslims running in front of him as well as the Kafir. And when the Prophet ﷺ was calling them, إِلَيَّ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ, come to me, all you servants of Allah, إِلَيَّ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ, he's shouting. And one of the lessons you learn from the shouting of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is he wasn't only shouting to gather them, he was shouting to save the Sahaba. You know, one of the main aims of that battle was to kill the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. When the Prophet shouts, إِلَيَّ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ, أَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, I am the messenger of Allah, where are the kuffar going to go? After that voice, leave my Sahaba alone. Come to me. And that's what happened. Everyone went against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Qayyimah came against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he fell in a hole that he had dug up for him. Aykum sawra. He fell in a hole. He hit him with a stick on his face where metal had broken into the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's face. Then he finished them off. He, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with a stone on his mouth, broke some of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's teeth, and blood was gushing out of his side, his forehead, and his mouth. And then the Sahaba were able to take him off, and he ran away. And the Sahaba guarded the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's in a hall, and they guarded him around the hall, and they're pushing the kuffar away. And then they see the Prophet there. They don't want the Sahaba. They want the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the arrows start going at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know what Abu Dujana does? The one that took the sword, he jumps on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that hall and hugs him, and all the arrows go in the back of Abu Dujana. And he doesn't let go. He doesn't let go. The grasp of him only grows tighter and tighter. They set heroic example. They're like, what's his life? For the sake of that, these were heroic men. Could you think about it? Could you, in a stance like that, throw yourself at the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ with arrows from every side that are being aimed at that man? Abu Dujana did it. In fact, they described his back after the battle as only full of holes, Abu Dujana. Let alone all the wounds he got with that sword he was swinging left and right. And the only way he used to kill people with that sword was to crack him on his head and cut him in half, both of them. One side both to the left, one side to the right. In addition to the wounds he got doing that, he threw himself on the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to guard his life. And then he took him in a group of the Sahaba, took the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the mountain of Uhud. That's why the Prophet described that mountain as a mountain that loves us. The Prophet said, "Uhudun jabalun yuhibbuna wa nuhibbu." He loves us and we love it. That's why a lot of the deeds that we have in Islam, the Prophet ﷺ compared what you get in reward of deeds to that mountain, Jabal Uhud. The Prophet ﷺ got on the mountain of Uhud a little bit. The blood is gushing out. The Sahaba, Abdurrahman ibn Awf and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, are trying to take the metal that broke in the Prophet's bone out. And how they're doing it? How they do it? By their teeth. In fact, they broke their teeth trying to get that metal out. They lived their life with no teeth trying to get the metal out of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the blood only gushes out more. And Sahaba come and try, in the midst of the battlefield, come and trying to drink the blood of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. See? And they could not. The more they pour water on it, the more blood gushes out. Then Fatima radiallahu anha took, you know the hasir. What's hasir in English? Hasir is, you know, the carpet, not carpet they pray on, but it's not really carpet. It's like a little bit thicker than paper, like little pieces of wood. What is it? Straw. Fatima radiallahu anha took the straw and burned it and placed it in the areas where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wounds were, and that stopped the blood from coming. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was weak. And the Prophet sees something stunning. He loved Ayman. And Ayman was one of the heroic Sahabiyas. He's in the middle of the battlefield giving water and nursing. He sees that a sharpshooter shot her with an arrow and killed her. And you know what? Her private part showed as she was dying. And that kafir started laughing. So the Prophet called Sa'd. Come here, Sa'd. Sa'd was a sharpshooter. Young sharpshooter. He said, come. He gave him the arrow. He said, shoot at him. So he shot at that man and laid him with one shot. He said, throw, I defend you with my mother and father. This was a form of way of greeting someone or respecting someone. The Sahaba always said this to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Oh Prophet, I want to ask you something. I defend you with my mother and father. This was known. The Prophet never said it to anyone but Sa'd. The Sahaba, nearly all of them, said it to the Prophet. The Prophet never said that saying to Sa'd. That's why Sa'd, after the battlefield, used to always brag to the Sahaba, I'm the only one the Prophet said he's going to defend me with his mother and his father. So Sa'd shot him, and he fell dead. And his private part showed, the Prophet, in the midst of his misery, began to laugh at him like he laughed at Ayman radiallahu anha. Now the Prophet, in the beginning of the mountain, he's telling the Sahaba, go, leave me, go. The Prophet has no energy to climb the mountain of Uhud. Huge mountain. If you go there and visit, it's very hard to, and looking at it makes you dizzy. How are you going to climb that mountain? The Prophet is ill down there, and the Sahaba are climbing. And Abu Talha sees the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but sees Ubay ibn Khalaf coming to kill the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ubay ibn Khalaf was a man who said in Jahiliyyah to the Prophet in Mecca, he said, you see this horse or camel he was on? A dabba, probably a horse or a camel. You see this horse or camel I'm on? So yes. He said, I'm going to kill you on it one day. The Prophet said, no, it's going to be me who's going to kill you on it one day, inshallah. And it was that day. Now it's face to face. Abu Talha runs down from the mountain to defend the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sees his life in danger. He runs. The Prophet says, leave him. This one is for me. And he goes down to this man. He's on his horse or camel, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided. He took a spear out of the hand of the Sahaba, and they said when he took it and shook it, it shook us. It shook us, and we're standing around him around the mountain. It shook us, and he hit him in the air. This man is covered from head to toe with steel. There's an area around his neck where there's flesh showing. A certain part, it's not in the history books, it doesn't specify exactly. An area of his neck where he has an opening in it from all the steel. So the Prophet seen that, and with the spear, he hit him. But it didn't go in him. But the man, from the sting and from how hard he was hit, fell and circled around the mountain, and so he fell all the way to the bottom where his other folks are waiting for him. He said, I'm dying. He took the medal off him. He said, there's nothing wrong with you. They started laughing at him. He said, they got no wound, no nothing. He said, but you see how hard this man hit me, you know, I'm dead. I'm dying. And in fact, he only remained days after that until he died. Then Khalid ibn al-Walid comes. See, most of the army had dispersed. Most of them were already on the top of the mountain. A lot of them already went back to Medina. Umar and Sa'd ibn Mu'adh are sitting. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh and Umar, one of the biggest two leaders, they're sitting there. Anas ibn al-Nadhr looks at him. What are you two doing? He said, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died? If he died, he gave us the message. What are you sitting here for? He said, you're right. And they took their sword and started fighting again. And they went towards the fighting towards the mountain of Uhud, where the secure part is. Anas ibn al-Nadhr said, no, wallahi, Jannah's the other way, where there's no security, where there's no Muslims, in the middle of the battle where the kuffar is, where Khalid ibn al-Walid is. He said, over there is Jannah. I smell heaven over there. And Anas ibn al-Nadhr, as you know, I probably mentioned this in a previous halaqat, Anas ibn al-Nadhr radiallahu anhu said, if he missed the first battle of Islam, if he missed the battle of Badr. So he said, wallahi, if I live until the next battle of Islam, I'm going to show Allah what I'm going to do. I'm going to show, look what he tells Allah. If I live to the next battle of Islam, wallahi, I'm going to show Allah what I'm going to do. And these Sahaba, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh and Umar ibn Khattab, head towards the mountain, he says, I'm heading towards there. And he says, oh Allah, forgive me for what these people are doing. Some run away, and some are sitting over there. Oh Allah, forgive me for what this side is doing, and for what this side is doing. And he hits in the battlefield, and you know they find him as he died, 83 wounds in his body. 83 wounds in his body. Sa'd ibn Abu Waqqas, radiallahu anhu, wallahi, we did not know him, except by his fingertips. You know, usually family have similar fingertips. You know, if you look at mine and I have a brother, usually the fingers resemble very much each other. She said the only one who knew him was his sister from the fingertips. That's how she found out this was Anas ibn Nadhr. The rest, there wasn't a few inches in his body where there wasn't a spear wound, a sword wound. 83 wounds, he did show Allah what he was about to do. None who were committed for the sake of Allah. Their life, and why we say this thing, if these people gave, you know, there's nothing you treasure and love more than your life. If these people gave their life for the sake of Islam, it should give us some boost in our mind, in some inspiration to give of our wealth, of our time, of our commitment, of our dedication, of our kids. You know, you can't find today a person who says, I want my son to be a devoted da'i. Can't find that today. I want my son to be the first one to be a doctor, the second one to be an engineer, the third one to be a lawyer, and so on. Go around and take statistics from the kids of the Muslims. Ask them what you want to be, anywhere. You ever find anyone want to be a sheikh or a hafiz or a preacher or a teacher? Never. If he went there, his friends are going to tell him, what do you want with that? That doesn't make you money. Choose something else. You're going to deter him. Well, I live this reality. I know people, they want to go study. They want to go study. Their parents refuse to let them. They get accepted in universities and they don't want... What are you going to do when you graduate? You got no job. This is our reality. Look at the sahaba. It wasn't their life they committed. You know, Allah gives you 3, 4 kids, 5 kids. Why not dedicate one of them for the sake of Allah? You don't do nothing. You, my son, who Allah gave me 4 kids, you're dedicated totally to Islam. You do da'wah. You go and teach people Islam. You go, not your life. We're not talking about 83 wounds. We're not talking about these Abu Dujana jumping and throwing himself on the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're talking about a minor commitment for the sake of Allah. That's all. And this is what we're asking for when we learn from these lessons of these Sahaba. So Abu Talha comes down and tries to carry after he falls down, after Ubay ibn Khalaf put down dead, he carries the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam up the mountain, and that's when Kuffar Quraysh gathers their belongings and begins to head. Khalid ibn al-Walid tries to climb the mountain because his fraction is the strongest fraction that remains intact. But the only one who kept him away from climbing that mountain was Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas again. The Prophet told him, come here, Sa'd. He came. He said, what? He said, how are we going to get these people? This whole fraction, there's only two of us. He said, say Bismillah and shoot. Here's an arrow. The Prophet handed him an arrow and he shoot. The first one, he kills one. The second one, he kills another. And the Prophet handed him arrow after arrow. He says, throw, I defend you with my mother and father. Throw, I defend you. And the third one, when Khalid ibn al-Walid said, 3 shots, 3 down, this is not going to be right. Let's just get out of here. And he left. This was why Khalid ibn al-Walid never climbed that mountain and killed a few Sahaba who held against the mountain, and they left. They gathered themselves, Abu Sufyan and Khalid and everyone, gathered their belongings, and after a stunning defeat, a stunning victory to the Muslims, it turned to a stunning defeat. And as we know, it is a stunning defeat. Some scholars try, especially the modern scholars today, try to tell us, you know, they try to sweeten our history and say, you know, this wasn't a defeat, it was a victory. It's not a victory. We defeated in it. We had 70 killed. They had only about 20, some say 20, some say 22, and some say 37 killed. It's a stunning defeat. From a stunning victory to a stunning defeat, but this is a lesson to us. The reason we were defeated in that battle is a lesson to us, and a lesson to the ummah to come. That every time you're defeated in any battle, it's because of the same reason you were defeated in the battle of Uhud. Sin. They have the Prophet amongst them. He told them to stand up there. It was an educated guess. They didn't disobey. Allah didn't tell them pray, and they didn't pray. Allah didn't tell them zakah, and they didn't do zakah. Allah didn't tell them, Allah didn't tell them don't deal in usury, and they dealt in usury, in interest. Nothing like that. Just the education. They said the battle's over. The battle's over. Let's go down and pick up some of that wujud. Just because of that little minor mistake and having the Prophet as their commander-in-chief, that's enough to destroy the army. That's enough for a defeat. What are we going to say today? What are we going to say today? When people call for nationalism, I think they're going to be victorious. When people are astray from Allah, even the people who are closest, who claim to be close, have these sins that they don't think much of. Music that they say, you know, this is nothing. Imagine if one of the Sahaba was having music with him. What would Allah do to them? And we have this, you know, not only that, some of, especially in Palestine, you have them fighting in a battlefield, and they have the picture of a nationalistic leader, and this is who they're fighting for. And we expect victory after this. A tiny mistake. They went down that mountain, Allah changed it to a defeat. And now it was an agony for the Sahaba, a misery. After this victory, you know, you're victorious, you got a nice job, and everything's going right. And all of a sudden, after 2 weeks of that job, you get fired. That's what happened. And this is what happened to the Sahaba. They head back to the Medina, crying, some of them in their agony, thinking, that's when Allah revealed. I don't think a battle had more verses revealed in the Quran than this battle. There's about two or three pages of verses in the Quran, in Surah Ali Imran, about this battle. The ones I read, part of them, in Salat al-Maghrib. Allah starts off by reprimanding them nicely. You know, you have a son. If you know how to raise a son and he makes a mistake, you don't take your son and start slapping him. Only ignorant people do that. You take him and sit down. You're my son. You're nice. He made a mistake once. You start commanding him and boosting his morale and inspiring him. Then you tell him, but you did this little mistake. That's exactly what Allah did in the Quran. They're already going through agony and suffering because of what happened. So Allah tells them, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Don't be sad. Don't feel low. وَأَنْتُمْ الْعَلَوْنَ. You are the supreme. إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. And this belongs to us today. Don't feel low when the whole world goes against you. When the universe is against you. Don't feel low. وَأَنْتُمْ الْعَلَوْنَ. You're always supreme. You may lose a few battles, but you always win the war. We're always, for 14 centuries, we always come back. You know, the Byzantine Empire is gone. The Mongolians are gone. The Romans are gone. A lot of empires came and lived, some of them for hundreds of years. In fact, some of them less than a century almost. But when they're gone, they're gone. They're gone, they're gone. That's it. And in every superpower, every time, when they're gone, wallahi, they're gone. And that's it. Except Islam. It may go fade away for a while from being the supreme on this earth, and it's because of us, but it will always come back. Allah tell them, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Then look, he's talking, Allah is reprimanding them very nicely. إِن يَمْتَسْكُمْ قَرْحًا. If a hardship came to you, فَقَدْ مِسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْحًا مِسَّ. Some hardship came to him a bit earlier. What hardship was that? What hardship was that? Better. You were devastated. They devastated you in this battle. And you devastated them in that battle before. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامِ. And that's how the days are. نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. That's the sunnah of Allah in this creation. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. One day for you, one day against you. وَلِيَعْلَمَ. What's the reason, oh Allah? Tell us the reason. You can't tell us one day for you and one day against you. Not tell us the reason. وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. How is Allah going to know the believers? If it's victory, 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 everyone's going to be a believer. Well, all the whole ummah be hypocrites too. You know why? Because we all have hypocrites when Islam is supreme. When Islam is not supreme, you rarely, in very rare circumstances, would you have a hypocrite. But it's always when Islam becomes supreme that you have hypocrites. وَلْيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. We want to pull out the right believers. And more than that, a grant from us. You know what that grant is? وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدًا. A grant that we hate. Allah says, I want to do this so I can take martyrs from you. And this is the most thing the Muslims hate today. We hate to give our life for the sake of Allah. In fact, talking about jihad or anything like that is most hated topic and planet. Allah says, I do this. Why? لِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. I want to take out the believers. وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَاءَ. I want to get those martyrs. I want to bring martyrs to me. وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَاءَ. وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah doesn't like the oppressors. وَلْيُمَحِّصَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. I mentioned this verse before. I mentioned it's like the screen you have on the screen door when our old mothers in overseas, they want to do rice or something and pull out the pure rice. What do they do? They put it on something like the screen that you have on your screen door and keep screening it. And the pure comes down. And the bad stuff stays over there. They throw it out. Then they take another, more rice. And they start, you know, making it pure, pure. And the dirty, the filthy, throws out. Exactly what Allah says in this verse. وَلِيُمَحِّصَ اللَّهُ. You gotta go through trials and tribulations. You gotta go through problems. وَلِيُمَحِّصَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. To pull out the pure believers. وَلِيُمَحِّصَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. وَيَمْحَقَ الْكَافِرِينَ. He's gonna destroy the kafirin. أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ. You think you're going to enter heaven? وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ. He's telling the Sahaba, the ones who left back from Badr,
You think you're going to enter heaven?
When we know the mujahideen in those who are patient, وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ وَيَعْلَمَ الصَّابِرِينَ Look what he tells the Sahaba. Allah tells this to the Sahaba, it's more to us. وَلَقَدْ كُنْتُمْ تَمَنَّوْنَ الْمَوْتِ Right now, we all ask for it, you know. Liars, Ummah. Wallah, brother, I wish we had jihad, I'd be the first to go. Liars, wallahi. Wallahi, 99.99% liars. If you can wake up in the morning, early in the morning at 4 o'clock, and get up and make wudu every single day, you're not fit for jihad. If you can't follow the command, the minor command of the Prophet ﷺ, you're liar, you're lying to ourselves. That's why Islam, وَلِيُمَحِّسَ اللَّهَ We need the pure, who can follow these commands. وَلِيُمَحِّسَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ وَلَقَدْ كُنْتُمْ تَمَنَّ This is what the Sahaba said. The Sahaba, as the Prophet ﷺ said, we want death. We want death for the sake of Allah. وَلَقَدْ كُنْتُمْ Allah tell him, you used to wish death? You used to wish to be martyrs? وَلَقَدْ كُنْتُمْ تَمَنَّوْنَ الْمَوْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ تَلْقَوْا Before you seen him. وَقَدْ رَأَيْتُمُوهُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ And when they seen it, some of them escaped it. Because when they heard that the Prophet ﷺ died, most of them ran away. They were in a confusion. When they seen the defeat was for them, a lot of them also ran away. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ Then Allah tells them, and by the way, this verse, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ That the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is only a messenger of Allah. If he dies or is he killed, أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ وَكُتِبْ Do you turn on your heels as non-believers? Whomever turns on his heels as non-believers, will not harm Allah, but will only harm himself. This is the verse that the Prophet Abu Bakr brought the Ummah, as you remember, to reality with, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died. But it was revealed in the battle of Badr. This is also from the lessons of the battle. They said Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died. The whole Umar ibn Khattab was sitting there. The battle, Umar, the giant, every time he sees someone smirk at the Prophet, he says, let me chop his neck off. He's sitting in the battle, confused. Allah brought him a lesson. When this happens, don't be confused. This is going to happen, that the Prophet ﷺ is going to die or be killed. When this happens, don't be confused. This is the verse that was said by one of the Sahaba who was dying. You know what he said? They told him, he was asking about the battle. They told him the Prophet ﷺ died. He said, if he dies, he's only a messenger like the messengers before. If he dies or he's killed, he's not going to harm you. He gave his message. The verse in it's identical. إِلَّا رَسُولًا He's like a messenger that went before. Do you turn on your heels as non-believers after him? He said that as he was dying, Allah made that verse a quote in the Quran for the Ummah to rely on when Umar ibn Khattab was in another rage back then and when he was telling the Sahaba, if you say the Prophet ﷺ died, I'm going to chop your neck off, you're hypocrites. He only went to see the Prophet, or he went to see Allah like Musa went to see Allah and he's going to come back and chop your hypocrite necks off. And then the Sahaba Abu Bakr comes back and gets on the minbar and he reads this verse. The whole Ummah calms down. They all leave Umar and they calm down to the Prophet, to Abu Bakr, saying because of this verse. So this is وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ وَقُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَسَيَجْزِي اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ وَمَا كَانَ لِنَفْسٍ أَن تَمُوتَ Allah tells those who ran away. Like a reprimand, nice reprimand, not a direct reprimand, nice, very humble reprimand, because Allah takes into consideration what happened to them. وَمَا كَانَ لِنَفْسٍ أَن تَبُوتَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ كِتَابًا مُؤَجَّلٍ Allah telling us, you're not gonna die unless it's your time. This is why, in this life, take it easy. Take it easy. Don't worry about nothing. Yeah, you go by reasoning, regular reasoning, but don't go to extensive things and think, wallahi, this is going to preserve my life and this is not going to preserve your life. Your day that you die, it's going to happen. You're not going to take a day from it, you're not going to add a day to it. وَمَا كَانَ لِنَفْسٍ أَن تَمُوتَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ It's all in Allah's book. كِتَابًا مُؤَجَّلًا وَمَنْ يُرِدْ ثَوَابَ الدُّنْيَا نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا Whomever wants the reward of this life, we give it to him. Whomever wants the reward of the life after, we give it to him. وَسَيَجْزِي اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ Allah will reward those who are thankful. وَكَأَيِّن مِن نَبِيٍّ Then Allah talks about previous umam before us who this similar thing happened to them. However, the people around them didn't do what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sahaba or some of them did, that they ran away and escaped. Allah says وَكَأَيِّن مِن نَبِيٍّ قَاتَلَ مَعَهُ رِبِّيُّونَ كَثِيرٌ A lot of people who fight with a messenger, a certain messenger, didn't name him, but probably messengers before. فَمَا وَهَنُوا It didn't let them. that the death, and it truly happened that their messenger died in that battlefield. But they did not let that be a deterrent for them to run away. فَمَا وَهَنُوا لِمَا أَصَابَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَمَا ضَعُفُوا. They didn't become less, any less than the messenger was amongst them. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ وَمَا كَانَ قَوْلَهُمْ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا. The only time, the only thing they did when their messenger died, إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا, oh Allah forgive us. That's all they said. Oh Allah forgive us. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا, in our transgression of our boundaries. وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا, give us the right stance. وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. فَآتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ, Allah gave them, Allah told them, look what happened to them. Their messenger died before them. All they did is make dua for Allah. Oh Allah forgive us. Give us the right stance and let us continue. فَآتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ ثَوَابَ الدُّنْيَا وَحُسْنَ ثَوَابِ الْآخِرَةِ. Allah gave them the reward of this life and the reward of the life after. What's the reward of this life? What's the reward of this life? Anyone?
Victory.
Allah gave them the reward of this life in the deeds in the life after. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ, وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ. The verses continue on for about 3 pages, and Allah talks about those, the Rumah, who, you know, came down from the mountain, and says, مِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الدُّنْيَا. Some of them who came down, the reason they came down was they wanted to gather from the booty that the kuffar left. So Allah reprimands them that you came down for a materialistic thing. مِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الدُّنْيَا وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةِ ثُمَّ صَرَفَكُمْ عَنْهُمْ لِيَبْتَلِيكُمْ. Although you did that, Allah deterred them away from you. And although they made a huge mistake, the aim of Quraysh, what was the aim of Quraysh in this battle? Kill the Prophet ﷺ or annihilate the Muslims. Kill the Prophet ﷺ or annihilate the Muslims. And they did not achieve their victory. This is one of the reasons Khalid ibn al-Walid became a Muslim. Do you know that? You know that Khalid ibn al-Walid understood this to be a victory to the Muslims. He understood this to be a victory. Where our aim is not to come and kill 70 and leave. This is nothing. And they realized this, as I'm going to say in a minute. Khalid ibn al-Walid, the strategic fighter who brought the victory, understood this to him as a defeat, because the aim he wanted didn't come. Killing the Prophet or kill annihilating the Muslims. So this is one of the reasons that he was impressed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam designed the military, how he put the Roman and how he did in future battles, and this is what caused him to come back and become a Muslim. And you know, towards the end, the last thing that happened was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on one side of Uhud. This was before they all left, and Abu Sufyan on one side, and he said, "Afikum Muhammad? Is Muhammad among you?" This hadith is in Bukhari. He said, that no one said anything. This was towards the night and it was dark. He couldn't see. He said, "Afikum Ibn Abi Qahafa?" Who's Ibn Abi Qahafa? Abu Bakr. "Afikum?" No one said anything. "Afikum Umar?" And you know why he said these three names? Abu Sufyan, in his jahiliyyah, more smarter than Muslims today. Because these three are the pillars of Islam, of their time. And the last two of the three are the most cursed by some sects today. You know that? Abu Sufyan knew that if Abu Bakr, the Prophet, and Abu Bakr and Umar are killed, there's no Islam. That's what he asked about. And when he knew Umar, he was about to get happy. But Umar couldn't hold it in. He said, "Yes, Umar is here. Umar is among, is here." So he said, is the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam alive? He said, "Yes, he is alive, and we're going to come back to get you very soon." So he said, "Today is the day in retaliation for Badr." He said, "But there's a big difference. Our martyrs are in heaven, your martyrs are in hell." Listen to that. Three, the Prophet never told any of them to say anything. Where's Abu Bakr? Silent. Where's the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Silent. Where's Umar? Umar spoke, couldn't hold it in. Although the Prophet didn't say, he said, "Don't answer him." Umar couldn't hold it in. He didn't want this man to be happy that he annihilated Islam. So he said, "Umar is here." And then when Abu Sufyan found out, then after he said, after Umar said, "Our martyrs are in heaven, your martyrs are in hell," he said, "U'lu Hubal, U'lu Hubal." One of the lords, he said, "Supreme to Hubal, supreme to Hubal." That's when the Prophet said, "Now you answer. Now you answer him." When it was a matter of a personal issue of the Prophet personal,
He took it personal, the Prophet. Forgive him. But now we don't do that these days, you know. Not us today. Abu Bakr, he said, that's personal. Let him go. Omar, personal. Let him go. They're all right. They can forgive. But we can't forgive. Today, someone cursed Abu Bakr and Omar or the Prophet. We don't be quiet about that. This is our aqidah. This is our belief. Anyone, you know, cursing or putting down Abu Bakr or Omar or the Prophet is a low munafiq. He's a munafiq. The only ones who hate the Sahaba are the munafiq. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard him talking about the Lord, he said, now you answer him. He said, what do you say? He said, tell him Allah is more honorable and supreme. And they began to shout, Allah is more honorable and supreme. Then he said, Abu Sufyan said, عُزَّى لَنَا وَلَا عُزَّى لَكُمْ. There's a عُزَّى for us. One of their statues again is for us, and you have no عُزَّى. Abu Sufyan's happy. They got the battlefield. They went. He said, عُزَّى for us, no عُزَّى for you. That's when the Prophet said, you're not going to answer him? He said, what are we going to answer him with? He said, tell him, Allahu Mawlana wa la Mawla lakum. Allah is our resort and you have no resort for you. That's when Abu Sufyan took everything and ran away. But then they realized, after they got to an area called Al Abwa, they said, we really didn't do nothing. They said, we went there, we killed 70. We come back just like we left with our equipment, because the Sahaba didn't take much equipment with them. They didn't win nothing. We didn't achieve what we want. Let's go back. The Sahaba walked back to Medina, said, and you know, by the way, when they were going back to Medina, before they were going back to Medina, Allah showered them with, you know, with dozing off. You know, when you're dozing off, it makes you, if you're fearing something, and you start to doze off and tired, it takes all that away from you. And they were stressed out, and scared, and everything, so Allah brought them dozing off. All of them fell asleep. All of them fell asleep, and in fact, some of them, when they were like dozing on and off, began to say things, we didn't leave Medina, we wouldn't have been killed. Like what? Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Abi Talud told them, the head of the hypocrites. He said, let's go back. He took one third of the army back. So some of them, as they were dozing off, said that. One of the Sahabi said, wallahi, I heard them say that. That same word came down in the Quran. لو أطاعون الذين قالوا لإخوانهم قعدوا لو أطاعون ما قتلوا قل فدعوا عن أنفسكم الموت إن كنتم صادقين. Escape death if you are true. Allah replied to them, meaning you can't wherever Allah wants to place death on you, you can't run away from death. In reply to those people who were talking, and they're dozing off and sleeping, and they go back to Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, only the people, he hears the news that they want to come back. Abu Sufyan wants to finish off the Islamic Ummah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, only the ones who fought with me the battle of Badr can come. We don't got no time for games. You know what? We don't got no time for Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salim and those hypocrites. It's only the few who achieved the victory the first time going to achieve it today. Anyone else, we don't want you. We don't want you. Those ran away, they got to learn from their mistake. The hypocrites, although the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they got to learn from their mistake. The hypocrites don't even come near us. We're only going a few. So a few of them went to an area called Hamra al-Asad. And they stationed themselves there and waited for Abu Sufyan to come. So a man came from Abu Sufyan's side, and he asked him, he said, are they coming? The people who migrate, you know, back and forth, they said, they're coming. Another came in, and he wanted to embrace Islam. He said, does any one of them know you embrace Islam? He said, no. He said, then deter them from us. So when he went back to Abu Sufyan, he said, where are they? He said, they're in Hamra al-Asad. And they came back with all the ones who missed out in the first battle. Although they were left, this one went and lied to them. He said, they come back with all those who left out from Medina the first time. They all come back and they're all gathered there in Hamra al-Asad. He said, all of them are there? He said, all of them. He said, let's just go back to Mecca. We got a victory, let's just go back to Mecca. And nothing happened. This situation is why some of the scholars consider this a victory for the Muslims. It may be or may not, but as you see in the Quran states it was defeat, and that Allah gave them a defeat because of what they had done. The situation after that was that it spread around to the Arabic tribes that it was a defeat to the Muslim nation. So everyone tried to come back to the Prophet Muhammad
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims, they tried to get a piece of them. You know, like Arabic saying goes, I don't know if there's an English, when you know, when a sheep is up and struggling or a camel's up and struggling, no one wants to go and kill it. They're all afraid it's going to kick or do something against it. But once it falls down and it's dead, everyone wants to put his sword, his knife in it. When it's dead, everyone wants to put his knife in it. What's the saying go? So,